Jazz fall 105-97. Tim Lacombe, Jake Scott joining us now. And great battle. A lot of progress, I think, for the Jazz in this stretch. It's going to be hard to win basketball games without Rudy, and obviously tonight without Donovan. But I saw a lot of things that I think are hopeful for this team tonight, guys.
Yeah, you mentioned the half-court defense by the Jazz tonight. I thought that was, you know, they played really connected. They held this team down, this Phoenix team down. And, you know, if it weren't for those transition baskets, you know, I agree with you. That's where the Jazz lost tonight, was in the transition game.
Only really want to try to cover for myself a little bit here. What did you see on the Hassan Whiteside foul watching on television that maybe would have led him to commit that foul, or why he was committing that foul?
I honestly have no clue. Yeah. I don't want to speak for you, Coach, but yeah. I honestly have no idea. We were listening to your broadcast, obviously, guys, and we were kind of just as baffled as you.
Yeah, the camera was more on Mike as he drove, and I just saw two guys fly. But like somebody had just run through a double, you know, somebody run through a screen or I don't know. Like I don't know what it, but I just saw two guys from their team on the floor, and then
maybe we're never going to get a replay. But I also don't understand what pick Hassan Whiteside was setting. Like if he was trying to set a pick, it was a shove of their guy, but Boyan was on the top of it, right? So Boyan's on the outside. This defender's on the inside between him and the basket. He's supposed to be. Hassan comes up the backside and hits him and shoves him right in the face, unless it was his guy that he did it to. But I don't know who he was trying to free or what even was trying to be done.
Yeah, I didn't get a great clean look, and I didn't see a replay either. So, but, you know, Twitter is always really compassionate, and they seem to think that Whiteside lost his head.
Well, if he got a technical foul, he lost his head.
That's disturbing, though. I mean, like, this is... Like, if you're his teammates, you're looking at him in the locker room tonight like, what are you doing? We busted our butt. We were in the game. You just cost us a chance to win the game.
A two-point ball game, man?
If Conley gets fouled on that drive, he's going to line for a two-point game when that happens.
Yeah, that's a tough spot, man. That's
right? I mean,
really
you're
bad.
Trying to build trust, build... Like, that's not a great moment for you if you're trying to build... credence in the locker room. 1:45 to play. Conley driving to the basket. He got fouled. They blew in a whistle for a foul. If he makes both free throws, it's 98-96. It's 90. No. Yeah, 98-96. Instead, it turns out technical free throw and the ball, and Booker then makes a shot, and it's 101-94, and the game's over.
So that
ended the game.
A five-point swing? They got two free throws,
five,
and then they got...
They had one free throw for the technical, and they scored, and we didn't get our chance. So, yes, five. Now, hey, you can get that, you know, you had to get that stop. They didn't get that stop. But yeah, it went from would have been 98-96 if Conley makes the free throws to 101-94.
And it just let the air out of the building, right? Right. I mean, everybody was going crazy, and they were into it. And after that, it just kind of...
That was it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well... Be interesting to see what that is. I'll let you guys discuss that more. I'm sure you can see somebody will get a. I don't know if anyone's going to get a highlight play of it, actually.
Some Arizona people up here.
I got to say, the Phoenix crowd was pretty prominent in our building tonight.
Yeah.
I think, you know, though.
Well, they're one of the few teams.
Well, they
that's
probably
won.
Came out here for the Sundance Film Festival and then didn't realize it wasn't happening. I'm just cheap shotting for the. Like, just.
But they're one of the few teams that have a winning record all time against the Jazz.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Best start ever in franchise history for the Suns, by the way, 38-9. And they go to 17-3 in clutch games. They have not lost a game. They've lost led going into the fourth quarter in their point guard. I'll bring up this point I brought up earlier today, both on our flagship station as well as with Ron. You guys can chew on this if you want to. I don't think there's ever been a player in the history of the NBA who at 35 years old has changed their legacy. Like Chris Paul has.
Oh, no question.
That late in his career, yeah.
No question.
Certainly for the better, too. We talked about it after the last game. I think he's found a nice niche being that, you know, stud vet on a younger team.
You know, I'm watching him on the sidelines and I'm watching him on TV when I watch the Suns play, and he is so vocal with these guys. I mean, it's like he's like John Stockton used to be, a coach on the floor for Jerry Sloan and you know, that type of thing. But not only is he vocal on the floor, but sitting on the bench and during timeouts, he's has the chatter going.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Well, we'll chew into this one. Good work tonight.
It is late, isn't it?
See you.
It is. 105.97 is your final. We'll get to Jazz Game Night postgame started coming up next on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night postgame show on the Jazz Radio Network. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Your final. Jazz lose tonight to the Suns 105-97. Hard fought game. The Jazz had it within two. We actually, we've got ESPN up here in the studio. We just saw a good replay of the Hassan Whiteside shove. And that was the ball game, Coach Lacombe. That was a tough moment to have that.
Yeah, and it did look like he was just frustrated and kind of walked up and shoved Smith in the chest, knocked him over, knocked Bojan over. And then the technical came as they were walking down the floor. He said something to the official and got a technical foul.
Yep, not great timing.
Not a great, yeah. They fought hard to get back there, too. That's the bummer part. Like Dave said, it'd be a two-point game.
And, it was defense tonight. Of all the talk about how the Jazz struggled to guard, particularly without Rudy Gobert, that wasn't necessarily the issue tonight. The Jazz fought hard defensively. Fought through, especially a third quarter where they just couldn't throw it in the ocean, and ended up getting it going a little bit more in the fourth. Jordan Clarkson hitting some big shots, and then, yeah, that just that was not a timely situation down the stretch and put it out of reach.
I'll tell you what, we talk all the time about well-rounded, you know, the Jazz wanting to be a well-rounded team. This Phoenix team didn't have their best offense tonight. Obviously, Booker was on another planet. He and Paul really carried this team, but They held the Jazz to a 106.6 points per possession, and you know they're just they're gritty, they're tenacious, and you know they can get it done on both ends. So you take your hat off to them. They definitely played hard tonight, and Jazz were right there, and kind of that play by Hassan just let the air out.
43 tonight for Devin Booker on 16 of 28 shooting. He had 21 of those in the first quarter. Chris Paul, as you mentioned, he had 21 to go along with 5 assists and 4 rebounds. Biombo had 12 for the Suns. For the Jazz, they were led by Jordan Clarkson, who had 26 on 9 of 19 shooting, 6 of 12 from 3. Really got it going there in the fourth quarter. Not quite enough, however. Mike Conley with 16 and 10 assists, 4 rebounds. Hassan Whiteside, 16 points, 11 rebounds. He also added a couple of block shots. Eric Paschal had 11 coming in off the bench, but not quite enough as the Jazz come up short against the Suns, 105-97. They do, it felt like they did a bit of a better job on Booker in the second half, although I don't know if you can really say that on a night he went for 43.
Yeah, he seemed pretty unguardable tonight. I mean, missed 12 shots all night long, taking 28 of them. The Suns got to the line way more tonight, too. That was a big factor in the game, is their ability to get to the line and the Jazz fouling. Suns end up shooting 27 free throws, making 18 of them.
Jazz lose tonight, 105-97. With that, we will say goodnight to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Friday night. The Jazz will be in Memphis to take on Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. That game will tip off at 6 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we've got post-game sound for you. We'll continue to break this one down as well. Jazz fall tonight, 105-97 to the Suns, right here on the Jazz Radio Network.
Catch and shoot three. Pow!
The clock is at 0, and another Utah Jazz game is in the books. This is the Jazz Postgame Show.
Ingles underhand scoop to Conley. Back out to Joe. Fires the three.
Presented by Mark Miller Subaru.
Donovan skies and hammers.
Now with the recap of tonight's game, here's Jake Scott and Tim LaCole.
Jazz Game Night Postgame Show on the Jazz Radio Network. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe with you. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru. The My Subaru is campaign is real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share. MarkMillerSubaru.com. 105.97 is your final. The Jazz fall tonight at Vivint Arena to the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Jazz without Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell tonight. And I, you know, Coach, I don't know if this game was exactly what we expected, but a lot was. I mean, the Jazz played extraordinarily hard. They knew they were outgunned. I thought, you know, guys like Jordan Clarkson and Mike Conley played well on the defensive side of the ball. They struggled a bit with Booker, but the Jazz, I don't think, have a whole lot to hang their heads about tonight. They played this team tough.
Yeah, if they really got off to a tough start. I mean, that really was the difference in the game. You know, after that first quarter, the Jazz turned that right back around on Phoenix, outscoring them after going down 39-18, turned around and outscored the Suns 30-11. So from that point on, it was kind of, you know, a pretty even match. I thought that the, you know, Phoenix, just their experience. And when they needed a basket, it was just, they knew exactly what they were going to do. You know, it's like when Donovan's in the game in the fourth quarter, it was Paul and it was Booker, and they got right to their spot and made the shot. So you credit Phoenix with a, you know, with a ton of fight, but I agree with you. I thought the Jazz, you know, minus that first quarter, played pretty inspired, pretty hard, and just a couple bounces away from this being a different game.
And even going into the fourth, down 10, it would have been easy to just go away. You know, it would have been easy to, you know, kind of chalk it up to guys not used to playing that kind of minutes. We've seen shorthanded Jazz teams run out of gas in the fourth, and that's not what happened in the slightest. Jordan Clarkson started to heat up at the right time. And again, I think, you know, Locke focused on this, and for good reason. That's why that Whiteside play was so painful, because they had it right there within two. And Clarkson was playing really well. Mike Conley, obviously, he got fouled on that play going to the rim. And you kind of say, what if? And at that point, to have that turnaround and go down five, I mean, that's tough.
You just can't do it.
No.
You know, I mean, it's something you talk about all the time with your team. You know, nobody's bigger than the team. That was a game, you know, it was in the clutch, right? So it was in the clutch, and unfortunately, just a bad decision by Hassan.
Yeah, Hassan, and he was having a fairly decent game, I thought. I mean, he certainly was rebounding the ball well. He had 11 boards to go along with 16 points. He was plus 11 in the plus-minus. In fact, Hassan is tonight's master of the glass, presented by Safe Light Auto Glass, local vehicle glass expert here for another great year of basketball. Proud to be the preferred auto glass partner of the Utah Jazz. Safe Light Auto Glass is also proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. As I just mentioned, Hassan Whiteside tonight with 11 rebounds. And I thought he was playing well. He was getting the timing down better with the pick and roll with Mike Conley. Had a couple of plays where he got some wide open dunks, doing a nice job getting to the hoop. And just one kind of, I mean, I don't know, it'd be nice about it, just one not smart play.
No, exactly.
Really, yep. Really kind of marred what was a pretty decent basketball game for him.
Yeah, he just got emotional in that moment and, you know, made the mistake of running and shoving Smith, and then had something to say to the officials. So, yeah, just in a situation where that's going to be a two-point game, and it's a really turnaround for the other team to go down and get free throws and the ball, that's a really tough turn of events to handle.
Devin Booker tonight, we'll talk a lot about his 43 points, but he also had 12 rebounds. I mean, I don't know if it was the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death, being on national TV. You know, he had 33 on Monday, but didn't do it in a very efficient manner. Whatever the reason, it seemed like Devin Booker was particularly motivated tonight.
Yeah, what did he take, 35 shots the other night?
Right.
To get 33 points, he scores 10 more in this game, and actually takes seven less shots. So he's just a phenomenal player. You know, he's such a tough cover, and his ability to shoot from the long range, but he's unbelievably, you know, persistent about getting to his spot, and then he can just rise up and hit that mid-range, and then obviously get to the rim or get to the line. He shot 11 free throws tonight. So he definitely had all of his stuff working tonight.
Extremely athletic. I don't know if that's exactly his rep as being a really athletic player, but he certainly is.
Yeah, and I think he's, the crazy thing is, he's still young. You know, he's still got years to add to everything that he already knows. So he's one of those guys that's jumping up there for me as somebody you want to watch.
He set the Suns franchise record for 40-point games tonight. It's his 16th in his career, and he's only 25.
Amazing. Yeah. He's relentless. He's a worker, And I mean, he's this kind of guy. He's very driven. David said his idol, obviously, is Kobe Bryant. And so he patterned a lot of his mindset and his approach to things, you know, through Kobe. So, I think his game tonight was as good a game as I think we've seen this year, you know, across the board. He played phenomenal.
Is there anything, I don't know, you, Coach, there's probably the answer to this is nothing, but what do you do differently against a guy like that who's having a night like that?
What makes it difficult is they space you so good. You know, the complementary players they have, you can't just disrespect. And so, you know, the word that you hear all the time, you want those guys to play in a crowd, which means you're going to stay with them a little bit longer. You certainly want to influence both Chris Paul and Devin Booker to their left hand, you know, not as good going left, but they're just so good at maybe starting left and getting back to that right hand to the pull-ups and those sort of thing. You know, it's something that, you know, the Jazz have, you got to make him work for his points. They did that the other night, and tonight I thought he just got things maybe too easy.
Yeah, it seemed like they were pretty effective in the second quarter of making him go left. He made, Booker, that is, made an adjustment at halftime and didn't seem to have those issues as much in the third and fourth quarters, but... the Jazz second quarter, you can't say enough about that defensively. Holding Phoenix, this was a season low for points scored in a quarter. They only scored 11 points in the second quarter. So a game that seemed to be unraveled, quickly raveled again in the second quarter. All right, we'll get more thoughts from Coach. Let's go down to Coach Snyder in the media room.
Booker had 21 first quarter points where we didn't run back with the level of commitment and intensity that it takes to win the game. We fouled, gave up 6 points, gave up 3 on an offensive rebound, and we were down 20. To me, you know, our ability to focus and prioritize those collective things that ultimately win and lose games. We can talk about a play, you know, how we executed something, how they executed something. We could talk about what a good player Devin Booker is, that Chris Paul is a clutch player. We could also talk about the fact that we were down 20 and just battled back. Mike Conley spilled his guts on the court. Like anybody that watched that game, if you watched every possession, the way he was getting bumped and held, knocked down, got back up, fought, competed. But we gave up, you know, we gave a 20-point lead up in the first quarter, because we weren't focused on the things that we need to be focused on to win. And we do. So this is a group that, and we have to find that. And then we can talk about, what's the question? Hassan's foul. You know, there was a lot of fouls. You know, Hassan's got to keep, you know, got to keep self-control. It's unfortunate. But we also had other situations throughout the course of the game. That's something that, you know, us talking to the officials and pleading our case, we didn't do that when we were coming back. You know, we played through contact. We adjusted to the way the game was going to be calling. And, you know, anytime, you know, there's mental errors in the game and guys have to keep their cool. I don't know what else to say about it. I have to watch the play, Tony.
Didn't keep the Boston 9, 11 or whatever it is, and go one of two directions and kind of keep going down.
That's not even. Yeah, I mean, we're not going. We're going one direction. You know, and it's not down. Like, and I could be angry, and we can be disappointed, but you know, we talked about it all, you know, we can have it either way, whatever we want to focus on. The best record in the league, lost in the playoffs, you know, seventh seed in the playoffs, winning the playoffs. You know, I'll say it again. I want us to be the best version of ourselves at the end of the year. And who knows what's going to happen? We're playing without Rudy Adonis right now. You know, like, that doesn't mean we can't run back. You know, unless Rudy Adonis come back and don't run back. You know, so... I'm not, this isn't about winning and losing. This is about, you know, committing to the things consistently that allow you to win. And I guess in that case, it is winning and losing. And you'll win you know, we had a chance to win tonight's game, even down 20. So, you know, they're obviously, you know, Booker had a really good night. You know, we weren't up enough in certain situations where he was able to get clean looks that weren't contested in the mid-range. You know, and that's, it's a game plan issue, but it's an execution issue. And we've got to clean that up, you know, but I have confidence that we can do those things, but it's the same level of commitment and focus. And it's not, you know, we're not, this isn't like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Like, I don't, you know, you go through, you know, check our record when Rudy and Mike are playing, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody can look at, and I don't even know what it is. You know, I don't know. I know what month it is. I know we're playing Memphis and then Minnesota, and that's about it. And that's really all I care about, what we do next game. And I care that we compete, because that's how we get better. And we didn't compete the first portion of the game, and then we competed like crazy. I mentioned Mike, you know, we had guys that dug in. So, and both can be true at any given time. You just can't, you're going to have, it's a game of mistakes. There's going to be breakdowns, but it's what you do with them and how you respond to them. And we can't, you know, we can't have stretches that, you know, that bury us like that early. And, you know, you're just not going to, you may come back and steal one, but, you know, that's not going to be, and that's not, you know, to the extent that's something that we fought, I think we've made progress there. You know, I think, but we need to make more.
You mentioned kind of some two defensive things there, running back, the low on the bit, but what on the offense kind of went wrong, because it wasn't like a good offense.
Well, you know, I hate to, you know, Rudy's pretty good. Yeah. And Donovan's pretty good. So, you know, I don't know what we shot. I thought there were times, Andy, when we didn't take shots that we need to shoot, and the ball stops. And against a team that's as physical as they are, that takes your space, once you do that, unless you make a quick decision to pass it or drive it, you know, and possession's going to die. You're going to be stuck on one side of the floor. And, you know, we know that there's, but the, you know, it's not golf. Someone's not like knocking your ball out of the hole. You know, you've got to react to what they're doing, and they're trying to not let you do something, and we're trying to do it. And if we don't, you know, get those quick decisions against a team that has that type of length, you know, Mikal Bridges, I don't know if you guys will vote. Is he first team all defense? Probably. But, you know, so you got to shoot. And that's something, you know, that we know as well. It's not always that easy. I could sit here and say it, but you got a 6'8" guy closing out on you like that. It's imperfect. But, you know, I think when the ball stops because of some level of indecision, you know, that really hurts us, would be the answer. When we were able to get out and push and play pick and roll and get the space we need, you know, Mike got in the lane a lot, got knocked down a lot too. We keep working. You know, I'm not thinking of it. We'll think about the guys that are out there. And when those guys are back, you know, not that you're not thinking about them, but it doesn't do us any good to lament that and say, okay, well, you know, when we get healthy, when we get, you know, that's part of an NBA season. And, you know, and I'm not, you know, however I sound, I'm not like, I would have liked to play better, but, you know, we've got a team that's capable, and I believe in them, which is part of the reason that, you know, that there's frustration from all of us, that those things we can allow some of those things to happen. And, you know, as I said, the best version of ourselves at the end of the year, it's not that the regular season doesn't matter, but these types of games, you know, need to make us better. And it's really what you do with it, you know? So what we do with this one is learn from it and, you know, learn from the fact that we're down 20, we battled back. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad, you know? So it's not all bad, a lot of good. But the thing about, there's certain things you can control. Yeah. You know, those are that's where we want to put our focus, you know? So, anybody else?
This will seem more vibratory than I get, but do you feel like there's buy-in from everyone on the home roster?
Yeah, you know, we can go down that like road, you know, like, have I lost the team? Yeah. I mean, you know, what is buy-in? You know, like, yeah, it was total buy-in. You know, guys want to be good, you know, and some of it is, you know, there's an expectation when guys come back, you know, that, you know, you're just going to kind of keep doing what you know, it's a different year. You know, so you gotta work. But as far as buy-in goes, like, no, you just have, you know, focus, you know, putting importance on certain things, like, you know, that's not necessarily buy-in. I don't think anybody will kind of, you know, you'll go talk to those guys. We're on the same page, you know, and you want to do it. And I mean, for that matter, like, those are things we've done, you know, of late, and we've been down guys, you know, I mean, you could write the story that Donovan and Rudy are at, you know, like, that actually matters. But, you know, it doesn't matter right now because we want to win. And there's things that we can do to win that we didn't do, you know, we did them and then we did do them. So just do them more, keep working. You know, like I said, the sky's not falling, but that doesn't mean that we're accepting something either. I don't think that's, am I making any sense? Okay.
All right, there's Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder. Coach Combe, Coach Snyder had a little bit of an edge there.
Yeah, they have been doing this for, this is my third year, and that's probably as perturbed as I've heard him. You know, he's usually very strategic, but I think tonight, you know, I think it was, there was a duality. I think the frustration of what they're going through, and to his total credit and point, they are playing without their two best players. But beyond that, you know, makes the point that there were things they could have done, particularly early in the game. And, you know, that's the thing that I think, you know, he continues to emphasize, are those moments in the game where they tend to lose focus or interest, and that's just what they've got to be able to reel in.
Not happy about the start. He was asked about Hassan Whiteside. We didn't get the question quite, but he was asked about that foul, and he went right to the poor start and giving up 21 to Devin Booker, then circled back around to Hassan Whiteside, talking about how he needs to control himself in those situations, which, of course, is very true, and then went on to compliment Mike Conley for him pouring it out there, spilling his guts on the floor tonight, I believe is what he said. And then he said, even though Donovan and Rudy aren't there, doesn't mean you can't run back on defense.
That's right.
I mean, he had an edge. I think that's the best way to put it. You can tell, and you can hear in his voice. I mean, he got into it with a ref tonight, and I don't know what other strain he's put on it, but you can hear it. Tonight's a tough night for Coach.
It's hard to lose, you know, and he does not want to use the excuse. But I think, you know, if anybody has a right to, right now it's him. I think this team is built around those two guys, and they're not playing. So the thing that I really like is the team responded, and I do believe there was a big part of it that Mike Conley just kind of grabbed everybody. And you know, he ended up on the ground a lot. He was knocked around. Quinn talked about how he didn't get – you know, many calls tonight, but most importantly, he just kept fighting. And I think that's the spirit that Quinn's really looking for this team.
Post game is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign, featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own at MarkMillerSubaru.com. Your final Jazz Fall to the Suns tonight, 105 to 97. Get your sound for the players coming up next on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night postgame show on the Jazz Radio Network. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Wiz campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. 105 to 97 is your final. The Phoenix Suns beat the Utah Jazz tonight here at Vivint Arena. Let's get a look at your points in the paint. Brought to you by Serta Pro Painters. Call 1-800-GO-CERTA or visit CertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. Serta Pro Painters, proven and trusted experts when it comes to painting. The Jazz tonight, points in the paint, outscored by the Suns 50-38.
And a huge part of that was all the blocks at the rim, you know, that Phoenix had. The Jazz were 13 for 23 at the rim, Phoenix 14 for 17.
Mm.
So Jazz struggled to finish at the rim tonight, whether it be block shots or just missed layups.
And Bogdanovich missed a couple. He made a couple, too. But I'm keeping an eye on that finger. At some point, he threw the splint that he's been wearing and then retaped it with tape. But he just didn't seem, whether it was dribbling with his right hand all night or he just didn't seem off. That might be an issue with him. And it's not supposed to heal fully for a month to 6 weeks. So it might be something he's going to have to get used to.
That sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah, it sure
does. Absolutely crazy painful to have the bone kind of pulled away, right? It's a bad injury, and I agree. I think he's favoring certainly his good hand, and he's just not as effective being able to, you know, imagine trying to wave that in traffic or drive through the lanes. A little bit scary with that injury.
And he's a tough dude. We got it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And he's going to play. I think
your hands are kind of important in the game.
Extremely. And that's difficult, and this team certainly needs him right now. They need the scoring without Donovan Mitchell. But, I mean, struggled from the field tonight, 3 of 13 for just 7 points tonight for Bogdanovich. So he's going to have to figure out a way to be effective with that injury because, you know, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, and it's unfortunate. I mean, when it rains, it pours. Everybody's going through something right now on this team. It seems as though everybody's kind of dealing with something.
It does.
Dog days.
The dog days. Yeah, that's a theme of these last couple of shows. We're just in the thick of it. Injury, it's not so much, obviously, COVID issues with the Jazz at the moment, but they're certainly on the tail end of those. It's just there's a lot of stuff coming at this team right now.
And really, you know, like Quinn said, all they can do is go through it. All they can do is focus on, he knew they played Memphis. Actually, he knew it was January. He knows they play Memphis next and then Minnesota, and that's about all he knows, he said.
That is what he said. Yeah, I can't get over the tone from Coach Snyder tonight. I mean, he was...
He didn't like the buy-in question either.
No, he did not. He seemed to interpret that being asked if he lost the team, which I certainly can understand why he would interpret it that way, although I'm not so sure the question was meant in that manner. But still, I personal opinion, outside looking in, don't think buy-in is necessarily the issue.
No, I don't either. We've talked about that all year long. Things may not be rosy all the time, but I think the level of buy-in, because we hear the accountability, the talk after the game, the transparency. And so, no, I don't believe that's an issue.
I mean, one of Coach's things that he talked about is getting back on defense, running back on defense. I don't think Jazz players are not running back on defense because of buy-in. I think they know they have to run back on defense, but for whatever reason, you know, hard things are hard. I'm dealing with this with my 4-year-old, where she's taking swim lessons, and she doesn't really like it all that much because it's hard. I have to have the talk with her. You know, sometimes we have to do hard things. And I don't think, you know, when the Jazz sometimes don't have the focus or whatever you want to say and have difficulty doing those hard things like running back on defense, I don't think that's a buy-in issue. I think it's hard.
Yeah. No doubt. But, yeah, I like that the sky is not falling, and I do agree with that.
All right, let's get down to the media room. Apparently we have Conley and Clarkson simultaneously.
Well, you know, like this is teams like we play tonight are games that we look forward to, and Our obviously measuring sticks for, you know, what we need to do and how we need to compete to win and to play at a championship level. And, you know, I want to be where they were at last year. And so I'm just trying to bring, you know, as much passion and compete as much as I can. You know, I know the guys are too. So, you know, I might not be the most vocal person all the time, but, you know, when I get in that mode, everybody knows, like, you know, it's time to go and how important it is. So I think that kind of set the tone for, you know, that second, third, fourth quarter, and gave ourselves a chance just by our energy level.
On those lines, you guys did go down 20 or whatever it was in the first quarter. What was wrong initially, and then what got fixed in order to bring you guys back?
I think they just got out of transition, made some easy buckets early. But I mean, we made that a non-factor in the second half, and you know, we had a chance to win the game. You know, we saw things that we like defensively playing them. I think we played aggressive in that sense. Like I said, we had a chance to win the game. We made changes, we made adjustments. You know, they just played well.
No, I think that that despite having lost a few of these games, we've been a lot more connected in a lot of different ways. It's just when you see something like a blown coverage, it's so much more evident now, like everybody's minds, because that's what's been hurting us for the last, you know, first half of the year. So now everybody, you know, is really frustrated by it. So it seems like it's happening every single time. But in reality, we've done a lot of good things, and as a group, we've stood together and resilient in a time that, you know, without Don, without Rudy, guys in and out of the lineup, and you know, we're just, you know, trying to find our way regardless of the situation. And like I said, regardless of the losses, I think we're heading in the right direction as far as staying connected. We have our lapses here and there, but that can come from just guys we're not used to playing with certain guys, and certain guys aren't used to playing in certain minutes late in the fourth or in certain crunch time situations. So it's just about, you know, once we get it all back together, I think, you know, we'll start to feel a little bit better about ourselves.
Sure. You know, give somebody games, just for the sake of actually just kind of get some games.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, every win matters. You know, we had a chance both games down in Phoenix and in here to get a win. But with this road stretch, we're definitely looking to lock in and get these next ones. But throughout the year, every win means something to us, and you know, a step in terms of our process of building and everything. I think that's what it is.
He was, you know, continually talking about the things that are absolutes for us, in the sense that, like, you know, boxing out, getting back in transition, like, you either will do it or you won't do it. You know, it comes down to that. You know, no matter how much film we watch and how many post game talks or how many times we get on each other, eventually, as you know, man to man, we have to hold our own self accountable. And that's kind of his message tonight, and it's been his message the last, you know, week or so. So we just ran into those same issues. You know, we ran into those same issues, and they kind of, you know, showed real early, you know, with the way that they came out and got in transition and stuff that we could control that. Because at the end of the day, you know, Book's going to hit tough shots. Chris Paul's going to hit tough shots late. We know that, but we can't give them easy stuff, you know, throughout the game to you know, put ourselves in a hole.
Like, it's fair to say that one of the reasons you can have to lose the game is you have a different starting lineup and just different rotations every game. So many people are missing. Is it hard to keep that context when you just don't get the victory? You know, if you don't get the payoff at the end, that, you know, there are outside reasons you're losing games.
It for us, we don't really look at it like that. Cause I think, you know, in the years past, we've won games without guys and we've still been able to play our game. But you know, we do recognize that guys are out, but we still believe that we should have, you know, we could have won a night. We could have won it the previous night down in Phoenix. And there's a bunch of games we should have won. So like, regardless of that, we don't make excuses. We go out there with the guys we have, and we have full confidence in them. And we just have to be better, you know, man to man.
Yeah, I think just the way they compete, you know, those guys are hungry too. They want to get out there on the floor, play. They played a great game down in Phoenix. They bring high energy just for everybody. I know we competing and we trying to win. It goes all the way down the line. We know we got guys out, but everybody steps up, lays their shoes up and is ready to play no matter what. I think you've seen that in Toronto. And kind of everybody was out. You know, they had a chance to win the game there as well. So I think all our guys are ready to step in, lace their shoes up, and get down.
Jordan, you've been in situations before in games where, you know, losing two out of, or winning 2 out of 10 was common. You know,
yeah.
It hasn't happened with success until now. Just how different does this feel in kind of in what way? So this 2 out of 10 versus 2 out of 10.
Because I know we be good. Yeah. Well, I mean, in Cleveland, I think we went through a little stretch like that. We went to the finals, but I think, you know, our team is really good. We're really talented. We just got to lock in. And I think I keep saying that, but, you know, continue to get our guys back. You know, same old same, but I think we're really good. That's why it's different. We know what we have here. And we know we all out there going to compete and trying to win something. And, you know, we lost these games. You know, none of us really got our head down right now. I mean, it sucks. We frustrated. That's part of the game. But I think we still got one goal and one thing on our mind. And that's what it is. And we're going to win these games and keep competing and keep growing as a team.
Given that, it seems like during this stretch, walking in has kind of been kind of a positive thing, you know, talking about these stresses that you guys have. And then Quinn comes out and says, you know, first quarter tonight, we didn't run in transition. We find ourselves down 20. We play our asses off after that, but like hard to come back from being down 20. What's kind of the disconnect in terms of why these stresses of lack of focus keep happening?
It's tough, you know, it's different on a nightly basis. I think it's about five guys being, you know, locked in at the same time. I think we have stretches where it's three guys that are doing the right thing and two that are offbeat, four doing the right thing, one that's off. When you're playing against good teams, you can't be disconnected at any point. And I think early in the games, sometimes we you know, we turn it over early and they get back out in transition and we're not everybody sprinting. We have three guys sprinting instead of five. Like, that stuff happens. We get five guys sprinting in, you know, the second, third, fourth quarter when we've been down by 15. So we've got to as a team, turn that switch on, you know, man to man. Everybody has to do it. We can't just be, you know, two or three guys here and there and inconsistent. And that's what you get. You get quarters where you get down 20 and you give up 39 the first, and then you come back and you make it a game. So, you know, we know how good we are. And at this point in the season, we obviously would love to be playing better, but we know we want to be playing our best basketball. And this time's, you know, time right now is for us to grow together. And hopefully, you know, when the latter part of the year, we're going in the playoffs, we're playing our best ball and clicking on all cylinders.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson led the Jazz in scoring tonight with 26. Mike Conley with 16 to go along with 10 assists tonight.
It was, yeah, very introspective. Obviously, the same things, you know, that have been talked about, but it sounds as though maybe the volume was turned up tonight. And, you know, the idea that there are absolutes, things that we have to have every night. And you're either going to do them or you're not. And my guess is, you know, I've been there where you, as a coach, you say we're going to play the guys that do. And but Mike made a great point. You know, it's not all the time. It's, you know, but it's in stretches where, you know, instead of getting five guys sprinting, they have four, you know, and it takes five. I mean, that's the hard part. It's not golf. It's a team sport, and you rely on everybody.
Post game is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign, featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz fall tonight at the Suns, 105-97. Hopefully, we'll have more player sound for you coming up next on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night postgame show on the Jazz Radio Network. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. 105-97 is your final. The Jazz fall tonight here at Vivint Arena to the Phoenix Suns. Let's get to the Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. Tonight from the line, the Jazz were 17 of 23, 74%. The Phoenix Suns, 18 of 27, 66.7%. Devin Booker tonight, we've talked a lot about it, had 43 points. Did a lot of that damage at the line, Coach. 9 of 11, shot 11 foul shots tonight to go along with his 16 of 28 from the field. Not to mention 12 rebounds for him as well.
That's the impressive stat to me. I mean, we watch rebounding close with Master of the Glass. And, you know, to get 12 rebounds, you really got to be playing. So, yeah, Booker's he's definitely stepped up, you know, his level. He's always been an unbelievably good scorer. But his ability to do other things to affect the game, you know, certainly helping his cause and Phoenix's cause.
Man, he was just really good tonight. I mean, Monday night, he had the 33 points, but you could make a pretty compelling argument that he struggled at times. Tonight, he went a little bit quiet there in the second quarter, but, I mean, he was something special.
Yeah, the damage was done, too, because you get a guy like him that gets 21 in the first, and everything's going to be easy from there. It really is.
Yep.
That's what's frustrating for Quinn, you know, because they just gave him easy baskets.
Well, it certainly caught Coach's attention, that's for sure, based on his post-game comments tonight. He seemed frustrated with the Hassan Whiteside foul, understandably so, said got to be smarter, but, you know, said that had nothing to do with Devin Booker scoring 21 points in the first quarter.
And that's, you know, I think he has to be obviously frustrated with what Hassan did, but I think there's merit to what he's saying. It, you know, the game very rarely is a win or loss on one play. This game, the Jazz really got behind the eight ball with just a tough start. And it was the easy things they gave up. You know, there's certain things, the Jazz game plan and the way that they really wanted to force Paul and Booker, you know, when they got them slowed down and started guarding, their half-court defense was really good. It was just the damage that was done out in transition, which they were in 20% of the time tonight. So, you know, really got out and ran.
Well, that's got to be part of the scouting report on the Jazz, right? I mean, that they're
a big
vulnerable
hole
to that.
Yep.
And again, you know, we tonight coming back to Coach Snyder's postgame comments. I mean, that's and Conley kind of echoed this. You know, they talk about it all the time. I mean, getting back on defense, it's a thing. You know, Coach, you and I are sitting here watching all these games. They're rewatching. They're watching film. They're getting word from the coaches and. It's just certainly a theme, and teams are going to continue to do it to the Utah Jazz until they stop it. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's got to be frustrating for Coach, that's for sure.
Yeah, because you spend so much time, and again, as he said, you know, there's certain things blocking out, getting back in transition. Those things should be absolutes, just things you just, hey, this is where you're supposed to be. I can count on the fact you're going to be there. You're going to go check a guy out on the glass every single time. I can trust that, you know. It's getting to that point, and that's where you can kind of start taking the next step as a team.
All right. Speaking of Hassan Whiteside, let's go back down to the media room. It's time to hear from the man himself.
I'm just trying to compete, you know. Just trying to come out here and do the best I can. After battling COVID, having 104-degree fever in the basement for the last 2 weeks. Just trying to come out here and get back in shape and being away from the team and get back out here. You know, I guess the number one team in the NBA.
You feel like you're not at 100% right now?
Hell no. I've been in the basement for 10 days. I'm human. You know, sweats, hot sweats, staying up all night. The only thing I could do is watch TV and sleep. You know, I've been doing that for the last 2 weeks. Sorry we ain't beat the Suns. Dude just jumped, got in front of me and just fell over. And that call was bull. And I stand on that. You know, I don't think that was worth a technical, you know, but I was like, why would you give me a technical in the fourth quarter when it's this, you know, at this time, man? And you know, it's a competitive game. Guys care. You know, if I didn't care, I care, you know. I could be with my son right now. He got COVID. Tough out here.
All right, there's Hassan Whiteside, and boy, Hassan was out a little bit longer than we've seen other guys with COVID, and you kind of wondered if maybe it was pushing him around a little bit, and it's had an effect on him. You could tell that's a frustrated guy. You can tell he's been through a lot. I mean, just talking about his son having it, that's got to weigh on his mind for sure. That's a dude who's been through it a little bit.
104 fever doesn't sound fun to me.
No.
Sweats, chills, and all that, but you know, nonetheless, he wants to win. He's competitive. You know, I just go back to what Quinn said. I think that was the best thing. You just got to learn to control that emotion.
I absolutely love his description of that situation there in the fourth, where he said the guy just got in front of me and fell over. Oh, I know he did not mean that in jest, but that did make me laugh.
It's kind of interesting, you know, when players come out of the game, something crazy happens and you say, what happened? And the description they give you and then what you actually go back and watch on film is not congruent.
Just doesn't match up.
Because passion, you know, emotion, the heat of the moment, and then you kind of come out and you forget, oh, man, that's all on television.
It's the eye in the sky does not...
No, it does not lie.
Does not lie. But, I mean, he's battling back. Obviously, he's battling back and missing the time, being away from the team. He said being in the basement, all he could do is watch TV and sleep. And then to come back to a team that's in a bit of a little chaotic right now, I think that's fair. I don't think that's overstating it. You know, guys in and out of the lineup, injuries. It's not easy, I wouldn't think.
No, it's never fun to lose. I mean, the nice thing is that, you know, the guys do care. Coach was a little on edge, and rightfully so. You know, the guys, it's not easy to lose. So you're gonna have a little bit of chip on your shoulder, and hopefully, like Clarkson said, they can use that to their advantage out on the road, you know, and go and try to get together and get everybody connected and play two good games against Memphis and Minnesota.
All right, postgame is brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign, featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. 105-97 is your final. We'll get Coach Lacombe's final thoughts on this one next, right here on the Jazz Radio Network.
Swings into Ingles with one on the clock, forces up a three, and he hit it! Joe Ingles, don't do me like that!
All right, there you go. That is your play of the game. Our guy David Locke on the call. It's brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com, driven by you. Jazz Game Night postgame show. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe, 105-97 is your final. The Jazz fall to the Phoenix Suns. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign, featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Play of the game was Joe Ingles. And tonight, Joe, he got the start. But just 2 of 6, 2 of 4 from 3, 6 points, 1 assist, 3 rebounds. We haven't talked about Joe at all here in the postgame. And the reason is it just didn't have a big impact tonight.
He didn't. He usually, when he does start, you know, has a little bit more. But tonight, yeah, it's funny, but I can't think of, you know, a couple plays that he made all night, and that's what the numbers would bear out.
Yeah, it just they need a little bit more from Joe. They need a little bit more from him. He was so good last year. You know, he was the runner-up to Jordan Clarkson at Sixth Man of the Year. You could make a real argument. We heard David make this a bunch of times last year that Joe indeed was the sixth man or should have been the sixth man last year. He was that valuable, and they're just not getting that from him, it seems, this year.
And, you know, and there's part of this. We saw it with Conley and Whiteside often tonight where just not a lot of synergy in the pick and roll between those guys. And so I think that's part of this is, you know, guys get used to a certain rotation. Guys get used to playing kind of off Donovan when Donovan draws a crowd and they're the recipient. So they've just all kind of bumped up scouting report. And, you know, it's a little bit more difficult sledding without those two guys out there.
All right, if you're just joining us, Jordan Clarkson led the way for the Jazz tonight in the loss with 26 points, 9 of 19 from the field, 6 of 12 from 3. He had 5 boards and 2 assists. Really made some big shots in the fourth quarter, even though the Jazz came up short. Mike Conley and Hassan Whiteside also, both had double-doubles tonight. Both had 16 points. Mike had 10 assists and 4 rebounds. Hassan Whiteside had 11 rebounds. He also added a couple of block shots. Royce O'Neal had 8 tonight. Tough night for Bogdanovich. Had 7 on 3 of 13 shooting. We'll keep an eye on that finger. It seemed to have an effect on him tonight. And for the Suns, Devin Booker, 43-21 in the first quarter, 16 of 28. He was great, 9 of 11 from the field, 12 boards, 4 assists. Chris Paul, 21 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds for him. Bismack Biyombo had 12 and 6. He also had 3 block shots. The Suns as a team had 8 block shots tonight. You hit that earlier in when we hit the points in the paint, you talked about that, how they really contested at the rim.
Yeah, with no Ayton, no McGee, and then Jalen Smith comes in and steps up as another great draft pick out of the University of Maryland. But I thought he was big time tonight.
All right, Coach Lacombe, let's get a few final thoughts from you on this one before we close the book on a late night.
I think, you know, the piece that I believe, you know, and I'll keep harping on is I do believe there's a, you know, the master plan is that this team goes through everything it goes through, experiences everything it does. And Quinn drew comparisons to last year where they kind of coasted to that first seed and still lost in the playoffs. So I think every year stands on its own. Every year's a journey. This team's caught right now in one of those storms that David Locke talked about in the broadcast. Teams encounter certain storms. I would call this one probably a hurricane. This one's not fun when you take into account the guys that are hurt, Donovan, Rudy, but the guys that are playing a little banged up, like Bojan, they're in a tough stretch right now, but hopefully something, you know, magical happens out on the road and they get kind of find this connection that they keep talking about. I think that's going to be the pivotal moment team can get connected like that.
Well, John Moran had 41 tonight
okay.
in their game. He's quite good. Last we checked, quite a fine player.
As far as we know right now, he's healthy. Yeah. So probably be out there.
All right. We want to say a big thanks to everybody who helped with the broadcast tonight. Of course, David Locke and Ron Boone calling all of the action. Fine work from them as usual. Thanks to our broadcast assistants. Thanks to Jeff Carroll, executive producer of Jazz Game Night. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the postgame show. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. And of course, Coach Lacombe, win or lose, it's always fun.
It was fun to be with you, man. It was an exciting game. It's just kind of different than we expected, but a fun one nonetheless.
All right, the Jazz fall tonight, 105-97 to the Phoenix Suns here at Vivint Arena. Next broadcast coming your way Friday night. The Jazz will be in Memphis, take on John the Grizzlies. That game will tip off at 6 o'clock. Pre-game coverage begins at 5, and of course you'll hear it all right here on the Jazz Radio Network.